Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right. Welcome, Buckhead Business Radio X listeners. Rich Kasten over here, your host, reporting live from the Peachtree offices studio here in Buckhead, overlooking our million-dollar view. And if you haven't been down, come on down. And no tickets required for the studio tour. And we may even consider to have a guest. We're always looking for interesting guests with compelling stories to tell. And for this particular show, we like to chat with folks that have a Buckhead kind of a background or story, or can tell us some insight of what's going on in the Buckhead business community. But joining me on the show, we'll introduce our guest here in just a moment, but I have my sidekick. Is that a favorable term? That sounds good, right? It sounds like radio lingo.
Yeah, I feel like I'm riding around in a sidecar to the motorcycle.
Exactly.
Everywhere you go, there I go.
John Wayne and Tonto. Who was Tonto's...
Lone Ranger.
Oh, there you go. Lone Ranger, right. Tonto, yeah. Okay. But meanwhile, it's Ryan Redhawk McPherson sitting in the studio. Welcome, Ryan.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Thanks for having me once again. What a pleasure it is to be here on a beautiful Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and you're here in the studio several days during the week with this show and AL Radio, and then we'll talk about your show in just a moment. But you were on the road. You just came back from the road from corporate.
That's right. Business Radio X is staking their flag down in the Gulf Coast area.
Watch out, Gulf Coast.
That's right. So Pensacola, Florida. We were there for a couple days doing some great interviews with business leaders, community movers and shakers down there.
Yeah, you did like 24 interviews or something?
In one day.
One day, wow.
Yes. So it was great people, great town. I love Pensacola. I love the Gulf Coast. Took a few days to myself as well and enjoyed some toes in the sand and a cold one after that. So it was great.
And to check out some of those photos, you can go to your website and our Facebook and all that good stuff. But I still was commenting this morning, maybe the best photo of the trademark Radio X mug you took on the beach. It looked like it was full size. It took over the whole ocean.
It's what they call an optical delusion.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
but you're right. It was down there on Orange Beach. Took a picture of the Business Radio X mug. If you want to see that photo, go follow me on Twitter at Ryan Redhawk, or follow us on Twitter at Buckhead Radio X.
Absolutely. So, and we'll talk about maybe at the tail end of your show of Georgia Business Radio what's going on that show. But right now, again, you're listening to Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Kasten over here, your host. And great guest here in the studio. We were chatting beforehand, and I think this is going to go beyond the topics we originally spoke about. But Ryan, why don't you do the formal introductions, if you would?
Thank you, Rich. It's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chris Baker. He has been at the forefront of the convergence of digital marketing, public relations, direct marketing, and online brand engagement for two decades. Chris Baker has secured editorial inclusions in over 200 media organizations, including MSN, Reuters, Forbes, Yahoo News, VH1, Wall Street Journal, Details, Sunday Morning Herald, BBC Radio, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and E! Entertainment Television, and now...
Drum roll, please.
Buckhead Business Radio X. Add that to your bio there. Welcome to the studio, Chris Baker.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Absolutely, yeah. So how's Tuesday treating you so far?
Oh, not too bad. I like your office. It's beautiful. Beautiful view. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Not a bad view for radio, right?
Yeah. Not at all. It's hard not to get distracted.
I know, right. So we'll try to keep you on focus here. So before we kind of jump into Chris Baker PR, and you certainly have a resume to I'm sure you have more stories than we have time for. But before you got into the PR business, what's kind of your little bit of your background or backstory?
Oh, when I was very young in high school, I had a unique opportunity. I worked for the Andy Warhol Foundation, which was about 45 minutes from my home in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where their staff would spend their weekends away from Manhattan to relax. And I became involved in just lawn work and this and that, but was introduced to a whole world of kind of interview magazine and media, and got kind of tuned into it.
Right.
And then shortly after that, became an entrepreneur with the Grateful Dead, which was my brother's favorite band, and learned about entrepreneurship and went to a few concerts and saw people merchandising and invented a little sign that said baby on board, but instead it said Deadhead fan on board. And my parents weren't crazy about me going to the show, but we made $10,000 in 3 days. And then they were pleased, and I decided never to work for anyone else but myself, and that there was another way to earn income other than having a boss and doing a 9-to-5. So I've been an entrepreneur my entire life.
Wow. I mean, that's very interesting. And from just at least two points, is that as civilians, if you will, we always think about entertainment as just entertainment, right? And the Grateful Dead and the tour, the musician. It's like, what was that movie that was Almost Famous? Where
right.
the kid, right, was on the bus. A little bit of that with if you were on tour with or worked with Grateful Dead. But you came at it from the business perspective.
Well, what's interesting is the CEO of HubSpot and founder cited the Grateful Dead as the first sort of social media band where they allowed people to get interactive with the fans and record the concerts, and they put no restrictions on any
really?
Of their music. And he cites all of the things that they did as the sort of
precursors to
sharing and to modern marketing and social media, which is pretty much word of mouth and right. freedom and not licensing and holding everything down. So the Grateful Dead influenced a lot of business people and a lot of not just hippies. And,
right, right. Yeah, I kind of put him in that sandbox as a hippies or whatever, right?
And I like the music okay, but I liked making the money when I was young, so...
Yeah, 10,000 in 3 days for just
yeah,
as a
it was,
kid.
It was fantastic. And then we merchandised the product to wholesale them to stores and started the end of the business world. And in college, I started doing T-shirts and marketing at my university. And then my brother and I did spring break merchandising and high school leaving, which is called Beach Week or Senior Week,
right.
around the country in Australia and Mexico at different beaches. We had parties, T-shirts, and products that we sold, booze, cruise trips, etc. And I did that for many, many years. And when I settled down from that, I lived in Buckhead.
Right. And brings us full circle back
right.
to Buckhead.
So what was interesting for me about Buckhead when I first moved here was the Buckhead Business Association, the Young Bucks, there was Young Careers, the Fernbank had an Artemis, and there was a lot of different ways to network with the community, which there still are today, and I would encourage people to look into. But I started working with the Buckhead Business Association president and the Buckhead Coalition president, Sam Sell,
right.
and we tried to get Buckhead branded as the place to be during the Olympics for shopping, entertainment, dining, partying, going out, and get Buckhead on the map.
The destination
globally.
For...
Right. So I founded a company called Buckhead Outfitters, and we opened up 7 stores, and Lenox Mall was our flagship store, and did merchandising with Atlanta Merchandising and Buckhead, which I subcontracted the manufacturing for, and retailed and wholesaled to stores, hotels, gift shops, airports, and directly to consumers, and did quite a bit of public relations. That was really my first taste of PR. And I hired an agent through Sam Michelle,
right.
and was able to get into the AJC and the Business Chronicle and all the local media here. And I really got excited about being in the news. It was fun and it was
right.
useful, and it helped my brand and my products start flying instead of crawling.
Right. So back up to this Outfitters. There were 7 stores, and this was... merchandise specific just to the Buckhead brand?
Well,
or?
No one ever really had put Buckhead
right.
on clothing. And it's kind of like they call the mayor of Beverly Hills called this the Beverly Hills of the East. And
right,
the mayor
yeah.
called this the Beverly Hills of the South. And the idea to put it seemed kind of, I guess, I thought maybe the locals will think, wow, this is strange. I would never wear this. You know, I live here. What's the big deal? But tourists loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And it really did well. And I did it for about 7 years. I sold the Lenox store to a business partner that's still there today under a different name. Everything Atlanta is the current name of it. But it was an interesting way to get the government and an entrepreneur together where I helped the community while I was profiting.
Well, it's kind of like if you are local, like Ryan, as I've talked about this a couple of times, is, you know, I said Hotlanta the other day, and Ryan, as a third generation.
That's right.
Atlantan, you know, correct
me. We don't
me
call it that. No, it's not. Only tourists and visitors call it Hotlanta.
Hotlanta, yeah.
Right.
But it is, but it's fun, and when people travel, they want to come to Buckhead. But it, connect this with this conversation to kind of like going to Hilton Head,
right.
and you got to go to the Salty Dog. Get a Salty Dog t-shirt.
Exactly.
Right? And I remember first time I was there, I was all excited. I'd wear it here in Atlanta. I see other Salty Dog t-shirts. But if you're on the island it's not that big of a deal, yeah. Right?
Every city has an entertainment district, like New Orleans and Bourbon Street.
Right,
and so you have to, we had to pick a place, and it certainly was Buckhead at that time. Now Atlanta's got many great neighborhoods that are worthy of a bumper sticker or a shirt.
Right. Like being right. In Austin, keep Austin weird, but if you're local right. Austinian.
Right. Right.
But, okay, so in terms of Buckhead, so talk to us about the Olympics and how involved were you in that and in, I guess, in, you know, how did Buckhead tie in? Because you think the Olympics, because I was living in California at the time. I flew out for the Olympics, was here, and it was all kind of Centennial Park.
Well, Atlanta got mixed reviews on the Olympics internationally, but locally things were fine. It was it was quite a shakeup when there was local terrorism downtown, and my stores downtown were doing great, and the ones in Buckhead were doing poor. And then everyone went to Buckhead because a bomb had got off in Centennial Olympic Park, and it was a crazy 17 days of merchandising with dated merchandising.
Oh, yeah.
I had stores had to sell it. If it wasn't sold, it was Christmas presents for my relatives for the next couple decades. So it was difficult and stressful, but I did well, and I celebrated by taking my staff on holiday to my favorite place in the world, which is an island in Spain called Ibiza in the Balearic Islands. And that actually led to my next entrepreneurial venture.
Yeah, we were talking before we went on the air of Spain. I was in Barcelona. I'm a quarter Spanish from my grandmother in Madrid. But so Ibiza. But how do you go from Atlanta, Buckhead to
It was, I'd been having free time from my spring break ventures, which were seasonal, and I would spend my holidays in Europe, and I found out about this entertainment island, which had great nightlife and beaches and weather.
Right.
And I liked it so much that I decided to take Americans there on tourism trips.
Oh, okay.
So the government of Spain wanted to have wealthy Americans from LA and New York
right.
and Miami coming rather than sort of young college kids or high school kids from England who would drink beer.
Right, that's it.
So they thought they wanted some glamorous celebrity types coming in, like Dennis Rodman, whomever. So we brought entertainment television to come and film Wild on Ibiza.
Wow,
that was their first Wild on program with Jules
Remember
Asner.
Those series, the Wild on E? Yeah.
Yeah, that was very popular.
Easy there, yeah.
So I actually turned another hobby into a job,
right?
Which sometimes is good and sometimes bad thing to do in the business world. But I was able to increase their tourism by 20%, and that program aired 25 times, and 400 million people saw it.
Dang!
So the government of the consulate there was pleased,
so.
And there's a lot of Yanks, they call us, running around the island now, for better or for worse, amongst the Europeans spending money. So that was another thing that generated a lot of public relations and
buzz, not just from the beer and the drinking, but yeah.
Right. Well, they wanted us to highlight some of the cultural things
right,
on the
exactly.
island, and not just the party
right.
Scene and entertainment. Television ignored them and made the whole thing about drinking and TNA and dancing.
Spring break, yeah.
But that's what Americans kind of watch on television on that program. But the thing that I wanted to mention was that after that, I when I was living in Atlanta, I started producing multimedia events that were kind of like what Ibiza was, with VJs and DJs and
right.
chefs and artists. And I did events at Tabernacle and Art Center and Sidetrack, and there was usually 1,000 to 3,500 people there. And I had to do that without the help of the internet. That was before MySpace.
Right, before Friendster.
Friendster's
just coming online.
So I have a unique combination of guerrilla marketing prior to digital marketing, which just involved meeting influencers and local trend setters and making them hosts and using different networks to gather an audience and direct consumer behavior. And when digital marketing came available,
it's on steroids.
As a promoter, for me, I thought, well, this is what would have made my life so much easier had
right.
I been here when I had promoted all these other things.
Right.
So, with the advent of social media and where it is today, it makes things so much easier for a marketer like myself, and the combination of doing it the old school way
right.
reflects my age, but it also it reflects the fact that I've got a double punch with social and the old school method.
Well, and you kind of like take those skills back in the day to draw a crowd of 1,000, 3,500 people. You were putting flyers up on telephone poles or whatever, right?
How did you know? There must have been one
staples.
On your car. Exactly.
And now you're putting that content up online to reach the masses. So we're at Business Radio. You're listening to Buckhead Business Radio X. Rich Casanova, your host, and Ryan McPherson, our producer engineer. And hopefully you'll have some, I'm sure you're going to chime in with a couple of questions as well. But speaking of business, let's talk about PR and marketing. A lot of people put them in the same bucket. Is there overlap, or how do you delineate those two? Or are they that distinct, yes or no?
Well, public relations is sort of merged with social media, and I would say that public relations is as relevant as ever. However, if people who did traditional PR haven't adapted or acknowledged that you can get your message out without being acknowledged by the mainstream media.
Right.
So whereas an old school public relations person would type a press release
right.
that was just words on paper and give them to the media. And if the media didn't like the story, their client didn't get any exposure. Well, now you can write a press release that's more exciting with multimedia in it and give it to the media and distribute it through Cision Marketing or through your own contacts. But if they ignore it, you can come back and use social media to the extent where you almost get as much views as if you had gotten into the Wall Street Journal
right.
or a publication or a radio or a television show. So hopefully if you're good at public relations, you're able to do both, you know, to use social media to the extent where you get a million views and then to get the media to take right. notice of a well-written messaging distributed as well.
Did I hear you or mishear you? Did you say Cision Marketing or what did you say?
Cision Marketing has
Cision?
Yeah, it's a fee-based service that public relations person can subscribe annually to that has 1.4 million opt-in media people, bloggers,
wow.
influencers, and it's not just a fancy blogger, but it's Bill O'Reilly's email, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter account, and it's the same with everyone in Fox News and
right.
all the media organizations, and the message goes to them through Cision. So I've used that to get some of the most boring things somewhere someone will
pick
write
it
about it for certain clients. Hopefully I choose to work with companies and messages that I'm fond of, but some once in a while you have something that you have to sell, like
right.
a medical device or
yeah, yeah.
or get the word out about a don't buy medicine in Canada, it's dangerous.
And, right. and is that something a civilian can have access to, or is that just through typically a PR channel?
I can't answer that if they scrutinize their users, because I was
sure.
I was qualified public relations professional when I applied for it.
So speaking of PR, is this the world is changing when you incorporate the average person's access to all these channels, right? So is it true that public relations, from your experience now currently is more challenging because, the average person right out here on Lenox, walking through the mall, you know, we have this evolution of selfies and i.e. self-promotion, right? So is the PR role more needed or kind of watered down or more of a challenge to get? Why do I need a PR person? I can become my own PR person.
Well, if you're listening to what I've said and you're a small business owner or a medium-sized business owner or a large one, hopefully you would realize that there's a little bit more to it
right.
than just blogging
yeah.
or going on
taking
Facebook
a selfie,
and
yeah.
writing stories and a selfie.
Right.
It involves more sophisticated methods and certain well-written press releases that are SEO optimized and word content optimized and sent with the right message and subject matter. And you're not just going to get anyone from Fox to open up your message if you send it through Cision. And let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's I guess it's kind of like professional artist or a photographer versus, you know, somebody with their cell phone.
But it is inspiring and empowering for a young, let's say, a music artist who used to be shut out, or someone who's designing clothing. If before the advent of social media and digital marketing, they had a very limited way to reach the media and consumers besides flyering and a press release. Now there's a million different ways through SoundCloud and through Vimeo and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and they can actually work so hard and do so much that if they're worth getting noticed, it's possible that they can if they try hard enough. So there's more opportunities today by far.
But
for a small guy.
Yeah, but so back to kind of our listeners and our audience of entrepreneurs, business leaders, executives, it is kind of the rule of thumb still applies, though, that let them do what they do best, right? And let a PR expert handle that promotion of their business.
I would think so. Right? It's hard to be objective about yourself and speak speak about your company. And that's why when I write press releases, which I've written for hundreds of people and businesses, I'm really tuned in to interviewing them for about 30 minutes and getting things out of them that they really never really could talk about. They might feel shy about bragging, or they might not know how to put the right words around what the unique thing they're putting forward as a service or a product is. So I can really write their bio or their press release in a way that puts it in its best light and then distribute it to the most wide audience possible.
So and the target audience that they want to get in front of as well,
you
right?
You absolutely should use a professional public relations person if you're trying to launch a new business or continue the growth of your current one on an ongoing basis as a retainer.
And also, I think it kind of postures yourself in a better, you know, positioning, as opposed to it's that third, not just third party endorsement, but it's an expertise. And you struck on a chord that we often talk about, is that the value of this platform of having a conversation. And then we just did one the other day. We had Fran Tarkenton in. We had that entire conversation transcribed in a third person interview type format that then can be then repurposed on blogs and so forth, right?
Sure.
As opposed to, if you just start with a blank page, what am I going to write about today? It's difficult to do that for most people, but we can have a conversation like we're having now and then go back and have that transcribed, and now you have all that content to work with.
Content creation.
Yeah, so we're speaking with Chris Baker. He is with Chris Baker Public Relations. You can find him on his website, chrisbakerpr.com, or check him out on Twitter, cbakerpr. You can follow him there. So let's talk about your business today, the type of clients you're representing, and how do these clients find you?
Well, they find me through word of mouth. They find me through my efforts at marketing, and they find me on social media when they do searches for different things. I've seeded the web, or what I called created a digital footprint that's quite dynamic, and created networks. I think I have 550,000 views on Google Plus. Like I put content out, I put images out, I put things that people want to know about, and I just don't put it out as a company in a dry business sense. I think businesses in a small business where you're the owner, I actually have a link bank where I put what I listen to, my favorite songs on SoundCloud, as well as what I read, links to my blogs, an encompassing sort of information about myself and my company, where one of those things is going to get the viewer interested and say, hey, this guy might be a good fit for what I'm trying to do business-wise or brand-wise or my image or my brand.
Right. So you have a large digital footprint. You're based out of here of Atlanta, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so you represent people not just in Atlanta, but all over the country and the world.
I worked with Easy Riders Events, which is like Harley Davidson. They've been around since 1969 as their publicist. I've worked with plastic surgeons in the Hamptons. My clients have ranged from IT to celebrities, a lot of entertainment industry clients, a lot of celebrity clients.
Who are some current folks that you're working with now? What projects, I guess, are you having in your hopper?
I'm working with a company that's creating food products and placing them into all the gift shops in the airports around the country, out of the Hamptons. I'm working with a lot of different startups that are people that I've...
Future Shark Tank participants, or do you watch that? I'm a big fan.
I love Shark Tank. Right. I would have loved to go on that show. Right when it came out, I thought, this is something I should do, because people kept telling me, hey, you'd be great at this.
Right.
And I thought it really wasn't that big yet. I mean, it just passing by, and it sure got big.
Right. Well, what would you have brought what would be your widget, I guess, you'd be bringing there?
Well, I had just done so many tasks that were... challenging, like getting my clients on CNN and getting into hard to get places.
So someone that
I thought, well, I could do any of these tasks.
Right.
I've gotten on these national media organizations with some stories that were exciting and some that weren't, just through sheer tenacity.
Right,
that's what it seemed like Shark Tank ultimately was not giving up and
and
being tenacious.
Mm-hmm. So it might be a situation where that food product you mentioned out of the Hamptons, or somebody that has if the listeners and they have a widget that they're trying to get above the noise and to get in front of the sharks, that's a role that you could
Absolutely. I do. I have been in Atlanta for over 20 years, and I have a really broad contact and database network in the Southeast region and somewhat nationally in a minor bit internationally, but I definitely am able to help most startups or most people connect with everything. I could probably help a company with everything they need done except for balancing their books.
Okay. speaking of startups, that's a topic I didn't think we were going to go down that road, but Ryan, you've had several startup people in the startup space on Georgia Business Radio. We've had a few here on Buckhead Business Radio, but very vibrant startup community. We've thought about doing a show just about the startup scene. And matter of fact, who is here with Hypopotamus, right?
Yeah, Editor-in-Chief Trish Whitlock was here on Georgia Business Radio talking about all the good work they're doing to support startup and the community here in the Atlanta, Georgia area.
And a statistic that she shared with us that I thought was interesting and bring up to Chris here as well is that a lifetime before business radio was on my front burner, I looked at some incubator space. And through all the diligence I could muster and go online and spend hours camping out on Google, I could come up with just a handful of incubators. And she told us now, fast forward today, there's over 33 incubators.
Wow.
What do you mean, things like Kickstarter? Or
no.
Do you mean
like a physical workspace. Like Atlanta Tech Village.
Oh, where a bunch
Atlanta
of startups Village. Come together.
Those are two things I'm glad you brought that up. And there's two other topics. Incubators are a great place to go for entrepreneurs because they have... One of them has a whiteboard where they have their ideas of the day, and at the end they all go over and they talk about them. That's a fascinating concept.
Right.
If you want to not be a home office person or not be interacting,
Starbucks,
but actually go out and find other people to co-invest with or bounce ideas off, incubators are great. The Kickstarter thing is still developing as far as funding, and it's sort of diluted. But the last thing, when you ask me what clients I'm working with, one that's interesting and relevant to what we're talking about today is immersive media. And immersive media is panoramic shots of an area.
Right.
The Atlanta Buckhead Village, which just opened with the incredible retail.
Oh, yeah.
That's a venue that needs to have international shopping, national people coming here to destination shop.
Right.
So what the company Panamanix does, which I wrote a press release for recently, is they film in HD and surround. So you're actually, when you're on their website, you're in the space. It's surround. Trump uses it. All the luxury global brands use it now. It's called immersive media. And you feel like you're in the hotel room because you can move your finger on the screen or on your mobile device and go all the way full circle above the building, below the building, around the building. And you're actually in it. So what hotels and destination resorts and golf resorts and wine vineyards, et cetera, found when they use immersive media on their website, they have 40% more conversion rate than companies that don't have immersive media. So to me, immersive media is almost like the new internet or web 3.0. It is the way to get consumers excited about what you're offering.
Much better than just a photo slideshow or
it's incredibly vivid and dynamic.
And you were kind of drawing a visual as if I had this picture that the drone was hovering overhead.
They use drone technology. Use manned drones all over. America's the most challenging country, but the islands and the resorts in the Far East and have used it exclusively. And you cannot help but want to go to one of these vacation resorts when you see a drone view of it at a low level.
Drone just seems a little too, I don't know, you have this Star Tracker kind of invasive kind of, you know, big brother watching over you, but from their purpose, they're just capturing that video content, yeah.
Sure, they're just showing you how beautiful it is and making you feel like you're there, which is just exactly what you want if you're deciding on where to go on holiday or where to go to college or where to golf.
A lot of high-end real estate now is doing that, you know?
Yeah, and they, with immersive media, the developers can fly over and actually map out all of the city's water lines and electrical lines and basically understand what's below the ground through thermo and really decide how easy would it be to put a new development here. So the drone and the overview is really changing the world of real estate development as well.
Big time. Maybe switch gears, but on the topic of startups, that's probably another challenge of PR because they're all pre-revenue, right? So they want to get the word out, but can they afford, you know, a PR firm? Or have you done any? I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you be? Have you ever had a conversation of them enticing you to say, Chris, come on board? Help us get the word out, and we'll cut you in on a percentage of.
Of course, and there's never been more of that bartering, trading type dialogue than there was when the recession was going on. And it became annoying, but understandable. Yeah. And I never tried to say no. You know, if you don't have money, you know, I'm hanging up the phone.
Right.
But at my age and my experience level, I try to say, you know, I have to be really interested in equity in your company or some sort of incentive other than hoping that it works. But performance-based is always a great pitch for any company to say, if I don't produce, you don't have to pay me. But typically I tell people it's, you know, I have an hourly rate and a retainer that's, instead of making it 3-month minimum, I'll make it a month for you or things like along those lines for a startup.
Yeah, you'd kind of hit on a point too. Is I want a follow up question on this idea of Ryan's brought it up a couple times with business consultants or coaching, you know, spaces where they're in an advisory role, right? And so, as a business person, how often do you get asked that question, or is it inappropriate return on investment, right? Because is a PR more about kind of branding and big picture kind of stuff, or is there parts of it that is measurable? And who do we have in here? Somebody on social media, and they said that they were able to get that brand huge traction, but some business owners wearing that hat, they want to see, you know, conversion, like you talked about conversion rates.
Sure.
So is that a balancing act as far as some PR? It's not about ROI, right? Yes or yes or no?
Well, there's always gray areas in advertising. There always will be. There always has been. Same with public relations. Same with marketing. But there's very quantitative measurements now online with website views, with traffic, with revenue increases, with signups, with email newsletter building, how many people are filling out your form for membership to the website. So you can show a company several different metrics if you're aware of them. Point out I'm worth the money.
Right.
One way that I like to do it is say, well, you're spending $20,000 now. How many leads are you generating a month for, let's say, a company that's selling real estate to international buyers? I tell them, give me your $20,000 budget and let me show you how many leads I get. And what happens is I'll be more effective. I'll only spend 10, but I'll double their amount of leads and get to keep $10,000 of that because I know how to generate leads better than their current sort of archaic method.
Well, yeah, an archaic would be, i.e., a billboard. There's no analytics you can tie onto a billboard or on the side of a taxi or a bus,
or just a Google AdWorks ad that's not very targeted. Unlike Facebook, where you can get hyper targeted, you can really zero in on exactly what that consumer's interests are. If it's a BMW, they Equifax is told Facebook, for example, this person's lease is about to come up. They love BMWs and they love to eat at Bones. So what happens is you send them a gift card for $100 in their newsfeed of Facebook to Bones if they go look at a BMW and drive one.
Right.
And it's, so it's very, very hyper-targeted and useful if you know how to...
That's useful and scary at the same
time.
It's
scary and intrusive, but it's the way it's going.
It's the new world, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine at one point people thought radio was kind of intrusive, whatever.
Right, people in your home.
Yeah.
Talking.
Oh, there's. I hear voices in that box coming out of there. Whatever. Turn that off. They're going to be start listening back to us, right? We have maybe one more question here. Talk to us on the topic of inbound, outbound marketing, and I mean, put that in layman's terms, if you would.
Well, outbound marketing was what people did prior to inbound marketing. And I would say 20 years ago, outbound marketing started to die slowly, but that was everything that you did going out. You were giving people business cards. You were going to trade shows. You were putting billboards up. You were posting ads in Creative Loafing or New York Times, and you were pushing messages in their face. And now inbound marketing is the opposite. It's messages drifting in front of you gently that you didn't need, that are so subtle and so unintrusive, just like the Facebook feed with interest that you have and Google feed from just there scanning your email and knowing what you're interested in. And suddenly there's ads that relate to things that you like, but they're not really, they're pushing what you want onto you, but they're not even pushing it. It's just amongst all the things that you read every day. So inbound marketing is social media, and social media really just means word of mouth. It's a softer marketing. It's a less pushy salesman marketing, and inbound marketing is what you want to be involved in today. There's very little need for anything other than inbound marketing.
Yeah, and two schools of thought on that. One hand, you might say, well, you know, that's scary or kind of Big Brother kind of stuff, or how do they know that? But on the other hand, it's like, what would you rather see? All this advertising that is just annoying, that I have no interest in whatever, you know, buying a truckload of Christmas trees. Why does that keep, you know, appearing? Or I keep hearing every time that I'm on the TV and a advertisement comes up for some type of medication I don't need, it's just annoying. But if you're online or through that inbound, it's like, hey, I'm shopping for a BMW.
Yeah.
Now I can click and I can find out as a consumer more information. I feel more informed and it's useful.
It's also called social chorus. They're the biggest user of word of mouth marketing. So if your wife buys a Kate Spade purse and she wants to show her friends, hey, look at this awesome purse I got.
Right.
And she puts that purchase on Facebook after the shopping cart checkout and it says, you know, do you want to show your friends this cool purse you got? And she says yes. And then that person becomes sort of an advocate for that brand, and that brand starts sending them incentives.
And the accessories and everything around that
brand. Yeah, they'll start sending them free samples of her upcoming products and her catalogs. And so you have a whole army of people working for you who are just your consumers, just talking about the products that you have that they love, and they're doing your marketing for you for free.
I mean, it's a good thing,
yeah.
As they say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I could test that radio is the original social media.
Oh,
families
okay.
used to get together,
yep.
listen to them all a radio broadcast,
chat.
And then they go out and tell all their other friends about it.
Yep.
And so it's an old media, but it's the original social media, and there will always be radio out there for people to consume, whether it's in your car, on your mobile device, or however you wish, and hopefully they're tuned into Buckhead Business Radio X.
Well, some newspaper publishers might have an argument about... with you about that.
That wasn't social. Right. People read newspapers alone. They don't read it together as a family.
Oh, good point.
They read it.
Yeah.
It's a one-on-one.
Right.
Socially, people listen to radio programs.
Okay, I stand corrected.
All together.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to use that as a new tagline now. Yeah.
Well, we've been talking with Chris Baker Public Relations. You can visit his website at chrisbakerpr.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at cbakerpr. But man, you're a wealth of information.
You're an
entrepreneur. You're a digital marketer. You're in touch with all things technology. I bet we can go on and on in hours with you, man.
Yeah,
you should
well,
have your own radio show.
I know, right?
Hey,
right.
Well, thanks. I'm flattered, and thank you so much for having me, guys.
It's our pleasure. But please do come back. Let's continue this conversation.
I would love to.
Yeah, we'll bring you back in and talk in more detail about, again, how you're changing the world and get your unique insight on what's going out there in the world. Any closing thoughts from you or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we turn it back over to Rich here?
Oh, I just think this station and Buckhead Business Radio X is the future of business networking. And if I was driving to work, I'd be having set as one of my listening buttons, because it, you can find out from the guy in the street to the top of the heap what's working and what's not.
He seems like he gets it.
I like that tagline for the guy in the streets at the top of the heap.
No, you're spot on with what we're doing here. Our mission is just help connect people, help business get the word out, no matter what business they're in. So, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll see you next time on the radio. And, Rich, any final thoughts from you?
Just once again, do well, be good. See you next time on Buckhead Business Radio.